Previously on Murder We Spoke.
We will close out the series with an epic live finale you do not want to miss.
The trophy the police supposedly found when they raided your apartment? It belonged to Atwood, right?
She's leading us somewhere. We have to do whatever she says.
So what are we thinking? We tie in an update every episode?
This could be what sets us apart from all the other shows.
A crime you committed!
We all committed.
We all have blood on our hands.
We need to protect ourselves.
From Bernie.
I don't think you know her as well as you think you do.
My dad used to take me ice fishing when we lived up north. He taught me how to look for weak spots, know where to walk when the ice is thick, and how to stand when you find yourself on thin ice.
Welcome to Murder We Spoke, a narrative podcast.
In a podcast.
In a podcast. Presented by Tantrum East Theater. This is episode 7, The Missing. Inside Cook County Prison, 2019. AJ, Bailey, Bernie, and Cress's lawyer all gather around the metal table. Cress's lawyer slams a thick document down in front of Bernie. It lands like a 25-pound kettlebell.
Okay, here's the agreement. As you can see in paragraphs 1 and 3, it clearly specifies that the podcast known as Something Fishy, which incorporates both co-hosts and will now be referred to as Party 2, recognizes that any and all information that my client, now referred to as Party 1, shares during the live podcast session, now referred to as The Event, will be allowed to broadcast live to active listeners during The Event. This also applies to any information shared from Party 1's partners, that includes Paula Anderson and you, Bernadette Brown, now referred to as Party 3 and 4, respectively.
I actually prefer Bernie.
Well, now you're Party 4. The agreement goes on to outline the agreed parameters of the event, including that the event shall take place in the shed, aka the podcast studio, aka the former property of Mr. and Mrs. Doe, which has been evacuated and remanded to the city. The event will be supervised by a police guard who will act as witness to the information shared during the event. Now, this next part is very important. In the event that Party 1 provides any information about the whereabouts of a Roger Atwood, now referred to as The Missing, regardless if she admits to participating in any physical harm toward The Missing, Party 1 will be granted full immunity. Party 1's sentence will be reduced from 50 years in prison with no parole to a maximum of 30 years with the option to be paroled in 10.
Worst case scenario, Cress gets out at 65. She can retire. What about me?
What about you? If during the event the whereabouts are shared about The Missing and no fatal harm has been done, Party 4's life sentence will be reduced to 40 years. No chance of parole.
What can I do at 76 years old?
I don't really care.
And Paula? Sorry, Party 3.
Due to the nature of Party 3's involvement...
The alleged nature.
We all know what was in that jar. Why do you think the agreement says no fatal harm instead of physical?
Touché. But for all intents and purposes, Party 3 was only charged with aiding, abetting, and conspiracy to commit a crime. 10-year sentence.
And for that, Party 3 will be remanded to a psychiatric facility for an unspecified amount of time until doctors deem her fit to rejoin society.
It seems pretty fair.
Yeah. This is a pretty solid agreement. In the end, you all have a chance to have a life outside of prison.
And that is because I am damn good at my job. So, if there is nothing else that needs to be discussed, parties 1 and 3 have already signed. Now we just need parties 2 and 4. So, who wants to go first?
One thing. For the event, who gets billing credit?
What do you mean?
It's a Something Fishy Homicidette Network production.
Right. But you see, it's a story about Murder We Spoke by Murder We Spoke inside of Murder We Spoke's podcast studio, so...
Okay, so, well, we make an addendum to say that any profits from the registration for the live event are split 50-50 between Something Fishy and Murder We Spoke.
What? Wait, no way. 90-10, maybe.
80-20.
They murdered an innocent woman and burned her body.
Oh, she wasn't innocent. No. She was just like us. Just like all of us. All she needed was an excuse to scratch the itch. In any case, I'm not interested in the money.
Okay, then we are done here.
I want Murder We Spoke to get full credit for the live episode and for it to be made available on our podcast station.
Is your station still active?
It was removed from all the apps, but then the public discovered Atwood's confessional episode and thousands of people started posting on Twitter and sharing on other social channels. Hashtag BringBackMWS was trending for months, so...
What is wrong with people?
Coming from the person who just brokered a deal to set an arsonist, a murderer, and an alleged cannibal free.
People want this case closed, Miss Brown. I'm just doing my job.
A job that you love? That you would do anything for?
Agree to the addendum and we'll be done with this.
I don't think this is fair.
You still need content for episode 7, right? I've been keeping up with the show. You guys were launching chapters pretty consistently, but now... You've slowed down quite a bit. Gotta give the fans what they want.
What can you give us?
I have some information I can give you right now on Atwood if Murder We Spoke receives 100% billing credit for the final episode. It'll be a nice build for the ending you promised your followers. You want to know how he became the missing, don't you?
Bernie grins at Bailey and AJ like the Cheshire Cat. A deal's a deal. The following is Something Fishy's episode 7.
What's that? What's going on?
There's something fishy happening.
This episode of Something Fishy is sponsored by New Horizons Life Insurance. Planning for a future without you in it can seem like a dreadful experience, but at New Horizons Life Insurance, we believe it is the best way to show your family you care. With a range of plans available at any budget, you can make sure your family is well taken care of when it comes time for you to venture onto New Horizons. New Horizons Life Insurance, here for your family when you're off to explore New Horizons.
Bernie's story takes us inside a busy police station in 2015. Officers sit at their desks, filling out paperwork, answering phones, and making calls. Roger Atwood, the missing, sits anxiously next to Paula in the waiting area. His knee bounces up and down frantically. It is driving Paula absolutely insane. This is so unprofessional.
Okay. Don't be nervous.
I'm not.
Everything is going to be all right.
Sure.
You know your lines, right?
We rehearsed plenty of times.
Let me take the lead.
I know.
I'll start with, "Good morning, officer. My partner and I have some information about the robbery at Lunar Legs and the disappearance of the manager." Paula, it's your line.
You need to relax.
We need to get this right. If we don't say everything correctly, I could go to jail.
Yeah, so could I.
We need to really emphasize that I was forced into this. I had no other choice.
You're the victim?
No. I'm a survivor.
Whatever you say.
Hey, you're not getting cold feet on me, are you?
I'm fine.
I know this can't be easy. Bernie is like your best friend or something, right?
Or something.
One day, years from now, you are going to be sitting down with your agent going over the contract for your first pilot on Netflix, and you're going to think about the choice you made today. And you know what? You're going to realize I was right. You don't have to thank me.
I wasn't going to
But just know that I was here to protect you. She's a dangerous girl.
I wouldn't use the word dangerous to describe Bernie.
No. I'm talking about Rita.
Rita?
Yeah. She wanted me to kill Bernie.
Why would she want to kill Bernie?
She said we needed to make the scene believable. Anyone could get robbed, but she wanted to be the hero who tried to save her employee.
The plan was they could split the credit, but Bernie is the hero.
Rita really liked your little brand awareness campaign. She didn't even care about the money. She said I could keep it all if she could play the hero and, you know, she becomes my lead ensemble member with the option to star in any place she likes.
You offered that to her first?
She forced me to do it. So we worked out some fight choreography where she would pretend to jump in front of Bernie, but it would be too late.
And you agreed.
She had me by the balls, Paula. I was going to lose everything. If your little rumors got out about the private things I did with consenting
was
adults...
Was it the actress who played Carol 17?
She lied on her audition form, and she turned 18 in 2 months.
So to keep your theater company, you were going to kill my friend.
I didn't.
But you agreed to it. You rehearsed it. You showed up with a loaded gun.
I have a loaded gun now.
Jesus fucking Christ! What are you doing with that?
I figured it's evidence Rita did buy this gun.
Give that to me right now.
Paula snatches the gun from Roger's hand and shoves it into her coach tote.
I'm trying to illustrate a point.
That you're a fucking idiot for bringing a loaded gun into a police station?
Actions, Paula. Words don't mean shit. It's all about the actions of the characters, what they actually do. Bernie comes out of nowhere swinging a kettlebell and smacks it directly into Rita's head. Chunks of her brain go flying. Then she pounces on top of Rita's twitching corpse and starts bashing her skull in over and over until it's flat against the floor.
She scared you.
You know, Paula, I don't think you're understanding the central through line here. Rita was going to fuck you over. She wanted me to shoot Bernie, take the money, and essentially cut you, Jane, and your little radio show out of the picture.
Her name is Cress.
I am your only friend right now.
And yet, here I am, sitting in a police station.
The cops are going to find out sooner or later.
How? Rita disabled the security footage.
Not entirely.
What does that mean?
I've been watching Rita's house, and the cops stopped by a few times, talked to her neighbors, and left. But one day, they came back, and they started leaving with things.
What kind of things?
Evidence. They wrapped it up in plastic bags. I couldn't get a really good look, but if they took her laptop...
What would she have on her laptop?
Ow! You're digging your nails into my leg.
Spit it out.
She recorded our conversations. All of them. About the idea, the plans, the blackmail. I am the only one with proof that we had nothing to do with Rita's actual murder. You just need to trust me. I have it all taken care of.
Silence. The kind of silence that slices through skin. You are forced to stop the bleeding by any means necessary. Truly, the silence only lasted for 3 seconds, but in Paula's mind, she had already rerouted a plan, devised a new tactic, and made her decision for what's next. It's time to play possum, just like Daddy taught her. The approaching police officer brought her back to reality.
You people hear about the lunar legs break-in?
Good morning, officer. My partner and I might have some information about the robbery at Lunar Legs and the disappearance of the manager.
All right, come on back. Your partner okay?
Paula? Paula, are you okay?
I think she's having a seizure.
Paula? Paula!
Someone call 911. The other 911!
How did we end up here? How did any of us end up where we are? Faking a seizure on the floor of a police station? Burning a dead body? Bludgeoning someone with a kettlebell? Can you trace those steps back? Hindsight is 20/20. The farthest Bernie can trace back is to a speck of a memory from when she was 8 years old. A bright light shines through the blinds of Bernie's childhood bedroom. But that's not what fully arouses her from her slumber. It's the creaking of her father's bedroom door. The same creak she would hear again in 14 years. Then, silence. Her house has never been silent. The echo of her father's beeping machine has filled her home since she was 5 years old. Beeping means a heartbeat. Silence means something went wrong.
Roger pushes open the shed door. The podcast studio is completely dark. You can't see more than a foot in front of you. He helps usher in Paula, who rests her body on his shoulder.
I think it's best if I take you home.
Here is fine.
This shed?
Mm-hmm.
You just got out of the hospital. Maybe you should be with family.
I am.
Hello, Roger.
Cress appears in a single pool of light. All other corners of the shed remain in darkness. Roger stifles a tiny yelp of fear.
Jane?
My name is Cress.
You said you'd be alone.
I lied.
Do we have a problem, Roger?
What? Problem?
She asked you a question.
What is this?
Ugh, no, no. We ask the questions.
You answer.
This is fucking bullshit. I'm out.
You leave when we tell you to.
Get out of my way, Paula.
Don't touch her.
Fuck you.
You do what we tell you to do.
Bernadette emerges from the darkness, holding the kettlebell in her hand. She takes a giant step forward, confronting Roger. Roger almost falls backwards in fear.
Did you see him flinch?
I did.
I didn't.
I don't even think I need to use this.
Paula produces the gun from her purse and points it directly at Roger.
Just let me go.
Where are you gonna go?
Back to the cops.
Oh, we can't have that.
Oh, no, we can't.
What are you gonna do?
What are we going to do?
Bernie approaches Roger from behind and smacks him in the back of the head with the kettlebell. His limp body falls to the ground.
Jesus! Fuck, Bernie!
It wasn't that hard.
You were supposed to wait for my cue. I had a really good line. Cress goes, what are we going to do? And I say, what aren't we going to do?
You'll get another chance.
Is he dead?
He's still breathing. Come on, before he comes to.
The trio help drag Roger's body to a chair. They begin to bind his hands, feet, and place a gag in his mouth. They stand back to admire their work.
So, what's the plan, producer?
The following is the original and last episode, Murder We Spoke, ever aired. This is the last known record of Roger Atwood. After their apprehension, the online platforms attempted to ban it from the streams. Due to the sheer amount of downloads, it was impossible to erase it from existence. After pressure from our homicidettes and other true crime fans, the online platforms have agreed to let Something Fishy re-release the recording. We now present to you Roger Atwood's confession.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of
Murder, We Spoke. I'm Bernie Brown, joined by my ever-talented co-host, Paula Anderson.
Hello, hello. And as always, Crescendo is in the building.
DJ Crescendo in the house.
First, I want to start this episode by saying thank you to everyone who's reached out, posted on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's been rough, to say the least. You know, to go through an ordeal like that is
traumatizing. It's like every day you have to relive that night at Lunar Legs in your head. And I just can't imagine the feeling.
The feeling is certainly indescribable. I don't think I'll ever forget that night.
And Rita, oh, Rita, if you can hear this, please know we are thinking about you and will never stop until you are safe.
Absolutely. Now, I know our listeners are eagerly awaiting for us to provide another update. And please know we are working tirelessly. Every day I remember something new from that night that I share with the police, and then I share with you in the hopes of boosting the signal.
Oh, and we are about to provide the ultimate boost to that signal right now. Joining us in this studio is a man by the name of Roger Atwood. Atwood is an artistic director and actor in the city. His theater company has been nominated for its fifth straight Jeff Award and performs to sold-out audiences every season.
This is a little unexpected. Mm-hmm. Atwood got in contact with us and demanded that we provide him a platform so he could tell his account of that night.
Roger? Welcome to Murder, We Spoke.
Thank you for giving me this space.
Roger, now, quite honestly, I'm a little confused. Your account of that night? I was alone with Rita. Were you passing by? Did you see something?
Roger, this is your chance. Tell us what you know.
It was me. I was the one who robbed Lunar Legs that night.
What? Chris, call the police.
He has a gun!
Please, just let me explain.
Do as he says. I know what he's capable of.
Okay. Okay, Roger. We will let you tell us your side of the story. Just don't hurt anyone.
Okay, so Rita performed in a few of my productions and we had gotten close. She confided in me that she needed money and concocted this scheme to rob Lunar Legs. Since I loved her, I wanted to help any way that I could.
But you brought a gun to the store.
We had to make it look realistic, especially because we knew you would be there.
You shot her.
I was clumsy with the gun and forgot I took the safety off. I am a Stupid, stupid man. I can't believe how dumb I am. I am the most pathetic person in existence.
Bernie, this is the point where you...
I attempted to stop him, but he mm-hmm. hit me with the butt of his gun and I passed out.
Where is Rita?
She's dead. I tried to revive her, but because I am such a pathetic waste of human life, she died, and I am to blame.
Oh, fuck.
I had to get that off my chest. The guilt has been too much.
Where is the body?
Probably sunk to the bottom of the Kalsag somewhere.
Oh, I can't believe this. You monster!
You creep.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't live with myself. I had to say something before I went away.
Where are you going?
I can't say. But sooner or later, the cops are going to come looking for me. Figure I'll take my chances alone on the road before they can catch me. Or maybe... I don't know if this life is worth living anymore.
Roger, is that all?
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come clean. Oh. Goodbye.
Silence. Deadly silence. But then... there it is. The beeping gets louder as Bernie approaches a door. She's scared to go in. She doesn't want to see her father like this. The beeping continues to drone on, digging its way into Bernie's ears.
It's okay, little one.
Bernie turns around and sees the doctor standing behind her. She's suddenly 5 years old again, standing in the emergency room at the hospital.
Maybe she should wait, you know, until he wakes up.
That might be a very long time, Mrs. Brown.
Please, just call me Laura.
Okay. Laura, and what is your daughter's name?
It's Bernadette.
What a pretty name.
My dad calls me Bonnie.
You know what, Bernadette? I bet just hearing your voice will help your dad feel a whole lot better. Don't you want to help your dad?
Mm-hmm. Bernie nods her tiny head. The doctor swings open the door, and they are greeted with the sound of beeping machines and air compression devices. Bernie sees her father lying in the hospital bed, covered in tubes.
Oh my God. Joe!
Shh. It's okay. You don't need to shout. There are studies that say he can still hear you.
Joe.
Is he sleeping?
In a way, yes. You see all the tubes? Well, right now, they are helping your daddy to breathe. As long as he's breathing, he is still alive. And you hear that beeping? That beeping is a good thing. It's your daddy's heart. If you don't hear that beeping, then something went wrong.
What about his consciousness? Brain function?
He does show limited signs.
Is he in pain?
Not as long as his loved ones are here. You see, when your husband fell through the ice, he was in that water for far too long. He experienced a rather debilitating seizure. This is due
to thermoregulation.
I was told you're a nurse.
I'm studying for my medical degree.
Well, then I guess you can understand the severity of this.
I couldn't get him out of the water.
No, this is not your fault.
Your mom is right. It's not your fault, but now you can be part of the help.
He's gonna need help.
Well, yes. We don't know how long he will stay in this coma, and if he wakes up...
When he wakes up.
Your husband...
Joe...
Mrs. Brown...
Laura.
He's going to need round-the-clock care. Luckily, your husband, Joe, has been blessed with a very capable, trained nurse as his caregiver.
What about... what if... round the clock, what if he wouldn't want that?
Do you have that in writing somewhere?
Why would we?
Are you religious?
Catholic. Lapsed.
Well, life is precious. That is why both you and I went into this profession, isn't it? We believe in our souls that life must be cared for until the time comes.
When is the time?
Think of your daughter. She'll be watching. It'll do her good to see a mother that is so giving, keeping the family together, the most important job of all.
Bernie watches her mother contemplate every word. She watches as Laura's life flashes before her eyes. The beeping continues its dig. It's deafening until...
End of episode 7. Voice acting for this episode provided by...
Lisa Bull.
Thomas Daniels.
Maria Fernanda Diaz.
Mary Glenn Frederick.
Hannah Karpenko.
Tom Morin.
Luli Gomez Teruel.
And
Jenna Zhu.
Stage managed by Olivia Timon.
Directed by Lila Rachel Becker.
Written by Rachel Bykowski.
Sound editing, Thomas Daniels. Audio consultant, Derek A. Graham. Music for today's episode from White Records and Daddy S. Music. Special thanks to the Alliance of Resident Theaters New York, the New York Council on the Arts, Karen Hammond, and Amanda Brummond. Additional thanks to Josh Pritchard, Kelly Florence, Nina Field, Lakin McCarty, Alice Wu, Rachel Mock, Carter Caldwell, Alicia Kunkel, Liat Graff, and Tracy Greenwood.
So, Ms. Doe. I'm so sorry. Hang on one second. Sorry about that. Yeah. Just that, or I can take it a little before that just so you have a clean thing.